Good evening and welcome to this special edition news magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Candidate Forum on FM 95.3 KNIA in Knoxville. All candidates have been invited to take part in this forum being held on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Now let's head to our host, Dr. Bob Leonard.
Welcome to a KNIA KRLS special edition news magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Election Candidate Forum. We're at the historic Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum with a live audience, and listeners at home are in their vehicles on KNIA 95.3 Knoxville. The forum will proceed in the following manner. The candidates have received a list of 13 questions that they will address. The candidates will have 90 seconds to answer each of the questions. I will let them know when they are at the 60-second mark and the 85-second mark. At the beginning of each question, a name will be randomly drawn, and that candidate will begin that round of answers. After the first candidate has answered, then the candidate to their left will go until all of the candidates have answered that specific question. We'll repeat the process for all questions. Now I'd like to introduce our five candidates that are vying for three seats. But first, I would like to thank each and every one of you for agreeing to serve our community in this way. This is important work, and we're grateful that you stepped forward. So thank you. Our candidates are, as they appear, they're in the order that they appear on the ballot: John Gatta, Mike Connor Jr. On the ballot will be Scott Ziller. He has withdrawn, so he's not with us tonight, but he will still be on the ballot. Jill DeYoung, Justin Plum, and Gerald Jordan. Now we'll begin. Remember, you have 90 seconds. I'm going to read each question, then draw a name, and then I'm going to repeat the question. This first one's tough. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. And we'll start with Justin Plum.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. So a little bit about myself. I'm not a native to Knoxville. I grew up in a small town in northern Iowa, Britt, small rural community. And I moved to Knoxville about 5 years ago with my wife, and I work as a physical therapist at the hospital here in town. And let's see, that's it.
Great, thank you very much. Justin Plum. Now to your left, Jill DeYoung.
Hi, my name is Jill DeYoung. I'm married to my husband, Chad, who is a lifelong resident of Knoxville. I've lived here about 15 years, the time we've been married. We are parents to six children. During my time here, I've really tried hard to be involved in the community and be a good citizen to Knoxville.
Great. Thank you very much, Jill DeYoung. Okay, Mike Connor Jr., tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. My name is Mike Connor Jr. I, like the other previous three, am not originally from Knoxville. I'm from a small farm just outside of Martinsdale. I've been very familiar with the area. I had a great uncle who spent his final years at the VA, so I would frequent the VA to visit him during that time. And I'm very passionate about the community, very passionate about politics, and I'm excited to meet you all.
Thank you very much. John Gatta, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good evening, and thank you all for being here and listening. I was born and raised in Knoxville. I graduated from Knoxville High School. In 94, I started at the hospital. In 2006, I was promoted to the facility director at the hospital, where that's my current job. I'm the president of the Iowa Society of Healthcare Engineering. I've served 18 years on the rural fire department here in town. I married my wife, Terry, who was a kindergarten teacher for 36 years here in town. I think this is an awesome thing to have all the folks that we have that are out here vying for the three seats. I think it's awesome that there's that much interest in the community.
Thank you very much, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. My wife and I have lived in Knoxville for about 58 years. We came here in 1961. A little bit earlier than that, I did spend 3 years in Pleasantville in grade school. That's really going back quite a ways, actually. We came here in 61 after I graduated from Drake Law School and entered into a private law practice with Carol Johnson. Later, Mike Lane and David Johnson joined the firm. After a period of years, I was appointed to the district court bench and served as a trial court judge in 5th Judicial District, which is 16 districts in South Central Iowa, including Polk County. We traveled to all of them. After I reached mandatory retirement age as an acting judge, I became a senior judge for 6 years, and then after that worked as a mediator arbitrator for 9 years. Most recently, I've been doing a lot of woodworking, so I don't have, it's not that I don't have anything to do, but I lived in Knoxville quite a while, and I've been a part of the growth of Knoxville, and seen a lot of changes, and I hope to be a part of some of the changes I know that are coming up. So appreciate your support.
Thank you, Gerald Jordan. For our next question, we're going to begin with Mike Connor Jr. What motivates you to want to become a city council member, Mike Connor Jr.?
Thank you very much. My motivation, simple. He's sitting right back there at the back of the house. It's my son. I moved here to Knoxville a little over 3 years ago. My son and I, just us two. And I wanted to make sure that we bring him to the best community possible. I want him to be raised similar to how I was in the small town atmosphere. Moving from Des Moines, it was just that opportunity to be able to move to a town that I knew had a great reputation. He's my motivation. I want to be able to improve our community, contribute to our community, and hopefully for the next 10 plus years until he graduates high school, be able to have an impact on his life and on everybody else's life in the community.
Thank you very much. That was Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, what motivates you to want to become a city council member?
Well, I want to thank the current city council for appointing me as an interim council member. It's a real privilege. I see so many good things that are happening in Knoxville. It's hard to look any direction and not see something good that's happening. I think we're on the right path, and I want us to continue on that path that we're on of growth and prosperity. I want Knoxville to be a town that every citizen is proud of.
Thank you, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, what motivates you to want to become a city council member?
I'd like to be able to contribute to the welfare of the city, as John indicated. I know that the city is facing some significant decisions that have to be made, especially with the VA hospital ground staring us in the face. And I think I have a background of being able to make decisions. I hope they're sound. And I just want to be able to work towards improving the affairs of the city.
Thank you very much. That was Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, what motivates you to want to become a city council member?
As pretty much everybody has already said, so I've lived here for 5 years, and in those 5 years, I've seen a ton of growth. I missed out on the times when things weren't going so well in this city, and I want to be a part of that continued growth. My wife and I were going to be living here for a long time, and so we want to continue to see this community flourish in the way that it can.
Thank you very much. That was Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, what motivates you to want to become a city council member?
I truly feel I would do a great job. I grew up in a small town in northwest Iowa, similar to kind of some of our other candidates, and I was fortunate enough to watch my father. He served for both the school board and city council while I was growing up, and I was able to see the great things that he helped to accomplish for his city. I would really like to continue that on, and I think I'm at a good point in my life where I have a lot to offer. And I agree, the city is really doing some great things, and I'd really like to help keep that going. And I'm a great team player that I think could help out.
Okay, thank you. That was Jill DeYoung. Our next question will begin with John Gatta. What particular skills or experiences qualify you to serve as a council member, John Cotta?
Well, as I stated earlier, I work at the hospital, and as a facility director, my career gives me a lot of insight into budgeting, infrastructure, and budget constraints. I believe that I'm good at problem solving. There's not a day that there's not a lot of problems to figure out and move on. And I also believe that I'm good at working with other people to solve problems for the common good.
Thank you. That was John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, what particular skills or experiences qualify you to serve as a council member?
I guess starting in law school, I worked part-time as an insurance adjuster, dealt with people on a basis of their claims and their troubles. But I think the law school training and the practice of law for 26 years has given me some insight into people's desires and their motives, and I think I've been able to communicate with them very well. Being as a trial court judge, it's more of a dictator role, but nevertheless, you still have to deal with people, and you have to get along with not only the litigants, but the attorneys and so forth. My 9 years as a mediator, arbitrator, has kind of taught me how to get along with, most of it was divorce mediation, and it's getting along with people who aren't, don't want to get along. So that process is kind of a hard process, but I think I was able to handle it.
Thank you, Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, what particular skills or experiences qualify you to serve as a council member?
I think the skills that I have to use every day in my job as a physical therapist involve a lot of problem solving. I have to do a lot of detective work, trying to figure out what is wrong with the individual and dealing with multiple different styles of teaching and learning, as well as dealing with many different types of people. And I think using those skills, I'll be able to learn quickly and also make the decisions that need to be made.
Thank you, Justin. Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, what particular skills or experiences qualify you to serve as a council member?
Well, educationally, I have a bachelor's degree in business administration with a focus in accounting and finance. I've worked in that industry for 20 years, so I have a lot of experience in finance and also in management. I've not only been the leader of the team, I've been a member of many teams. I just think I have a good balance at this stage in my life of the work experience and also the personal experience. I've lived in the town, I've lived in other towns. We've got kids and family in this town, and I think it's just really the right time that my experience would be an asset and hope to the city council.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., what particular skills or experiences qualify you to serve as a council member?
I have over 15 years of management experience, both working in local small town businesses as well as managing at a corporate level. That gave me the opportunity to work both with budgets as well as creating budgets, and I think that's going to be extremely important as we review what our expenditures we have coming out of the city. But more importantly, it gave me the opportunity to be able to work with the public. And I think that's going to be vital, getting out, talking to people, letting people where we know where we're at as a city, engaging with the community and being completely transparent. I think that is probably my best feature, I would say.
Great. Thank you very much. Our next question is, have you served on any local boards or commissions? And if so, if yes, which? But take this sort of broadly, if you've done other kinds of volunteer work, not specifically boards and commissions. If you've done boards and commissions, we want to hear that, but other kinds of things where you've contributed to your community. And we're going to begin with Jill DeYoung. Jill, have you served on any local boards or commissions? And if so, which and what other responsibilities have you taken on?
Yes, I have and do currently serve on the Parks and Recreation Board. I've also tried to do a lot of other volunteering through the community with coaching youth sports. I've been on swim team boards, other youth sports boards. I'm always willing and able to fill a need when there's a need on a border volunteer opportunity.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., have you served on any local boards or commissions? And if so, which? And then what other contributions have you made to the community?
I have not yet served on any boards or commissions. However, when it comes to contributing to the community, I have spent time in Des Moines working, trying to, again, donate my time, working with Habitat for Humanity, a few other causes in Des Moines as well. But I haven't worked on any commissions or boards.
Okay, thank you. Mike Connor Jr., that was Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, have you served on any local boards or commissions? If so, yes. Tell us which ones, and then any other contributions as a volunteer.
Yes, I was on the Knoxville City Cemetery Board, and I had to step down from the Board of Adjustments due to my appointment to the City Council. As I stated earlier, I was on the Rural Fire Department for 18 years. Four of those, I was the chief. Many other things in town. That way back when the Old Park wooden project was built, that was a huge volunteer effort, which was awesome. And Axe, which is associated with the well. They've had several community projects over the years, and I've been involved in those.
Thank you very much, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, have you served on any local boards or commissions? If so, if yes, which, and what other volunteer services have you performed?
Currently, I'm serving on the Low-Rent Housing Board for Marion County. Serves primarily in Knoxville housing needs for low-rent housing. I've been on it for 4 years. I have served several terms on the church board. I'm a member of Rotary. I'm on the Rotary Board of Directors at the present time. I have belonged to various service organizations while I've lived in Knoxville. Yes, that's it.
Thank you very much, Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, have you served on any local boards or commissions? And if yes, which, and what other contributions have you made?
So I'm currently on the Knoxville Heritage Community Foundation Board, and some of the other volunteer opportunities. When we first moved to town, we helped with the remodeling of the Grand Theater. So if you've seen the beautiful tiling in the bathrooms, that was me. I never tiled before, but so if there's some errors, don't worry about that. And also through work, we've done some fundraisers on hats and gloves for our local school district.
Great, thank you very much, Justin Plum. We'll move on to our next question. And things are going very well with respect to time, so if you need a little bit more time on this one, that's just fine. This is an important question. We're going to begin with Gerald Jordan. What is the current state of city-owned buildings and facilities, and which would you renovate or replace first?
We recently completed, four or three of us up here recently, but John Gott also did last year, the Leadership Academy put on by the City Council, which is a six-week series of meetings once a week and touring all of the various departments of the city. In that traveling, we were able to see some of the highlights of some of the structures. It seems to me that in our learning of those facilities, the fire station, although it recently has had some cosmetic improvements, that it's going to be in need of space there. The vehicles there are filling it up now, and there's probably going to be some more. So that's something that might need fairly quick attention. The City Police Department is in part of the old Memorial Hospital building, which is where the City Hall is too, but the police station is in facilities that are rather deteriorated and deteriorating, and I think something more than cosmetic probably needs to be done with that. The rec center is a facility that is used a lot by Knoxville citizens, and although I give credit to Jerry Ayers and the people out there who maintain it, they do an excellent job, but it had a bond issue last time around, very nearly passed when the library passed, which is incidentally a wonderful facility. You all need to go down there and take a look at it. But anyway, the recreation needs need to be paid attention to, and those areas that need to be improved and expanded need some work.
Thank you very much, Gerald. Jordan, Justin Plum, what is the current state of city-owned buildings and facilities, and which would you choose to renovate and replace first?
As Gerald said, I was also part of the Knoxville Leadership Academy, and Mike as well. We'll probably also have the same answers because we saw the same facilities. So I agree with Gerald on the situation with our fire and police. I think when it comes time to get new for them, it'd be a great opportunity to have a combined facility to take care of our city members that way. And as Gerald said, the rec center, it's going well now, but at some point in time, there's going to be some major upgrades that are going to need to happen. So I think, as Gerald said, I agree on those same facilities.
Okay, thank you very much, Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, what is the current state of city-owned buildings and facilities, and which would you choose to renovate and replace first?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to add a whole lot new to this because that's the same take I have. Serving on the Parks and Rec Board, obviously I'm more intimate in the knowledge of the rec center, and I know their challenges and the busting of the seams and the aging of equipment and all of that. And I think having a state-of-the-art rec center is a great amenity that's going to help draw people to Knoxville, but it is not necessarily more important than having a state-of-the-art fire station, police station, and our city hall. Like, they all need attention. So it's really hard to, I guess, rank them for me personally, because I really think they all need attention as soon as they can get attention.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., what is the current state of city-owned buildings and facilities, and which would you choose to renovate or replace first?
Next verse, same as the first. I think what you're looking at is a scenario. I would look at the city hall, the fire station, the police station. And again, as Justin said, I think having a campus all to combine to be able to hopefully run more efficiently from public safety and a public service aspect would make sense. I think that sitting where we're at right now at the city hall, it's going to be 80 years ago that it was a hospital, when it came on as a hospital. You look at it, there's definite need for improvement. Should we first take a look, see if there's ways that we can save money to be able to refurbish it? Absolutely. But in the end, more than likely, it's going to go out to a measure. It's going to be for a vote. And that's what I would imagine should be our top priority.
Okay. Thank you, Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, what is the current state of city-owned buildings and facilities, and which would you choose to renovate or replace first?
This is getting tougher at the end of the line.
So do I.
City Hall has lots of issues. It's not very handicap accessible. The fire station, with the added services that they continue to do out of that building, and I think we've got a new ladder truck coming. They're out of room. They're stacking trucks on top of trucks almost in order to get them in there, and that's certainly not convenient when you're in a hurry. The one that didn't get mentioned is the little building out at the cemetery. And this isn't a high dollar item as compared to anything else on here, but that building, if anybody's aware, in order to get their backhoe that digs the graves into that building, they had to dig the floor down because the building's not tall enough to get them in there. The little area that you walk into with, say, a grieving family has got to come and pick out a burial plot. Same thing there. It's not nice. It's not some place that you want to go. So that at some point, that needs to be addressed. But I think the issue with all of these buildings is how do you fund them without going out for bond issues. And even though they all have their issues right now, I'm not sure that that's something that at this time that we jump in to try to start solving. School's got a lot of things going on. I think there's other issues that we can be addressing to grow the community to hopefully help provide funding for all of these projects at some point.
Okay, thank you, John Gatta. Now, you've all shown that you have knowledge of the current state of the facilities. But I asked at the end one particular question, and I don't think you all answered that. And that is, what's the number one priority? Gerald Jordan, if you can only do one, what's your priority?
Are you starting at the buildings themselves?
Buildings and facilities.
I think the major one's the VA hospital. The
VA hospital.
That's the big elephant in the room as far as the city is concerned. And we're going to be facing it sooner than rather than later.
Okay. That sort of takes it a little bit out. It's not the city property yet. It's one of our challenges and opportunities, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to address that if they want to. But let's go with existing buildings that the city owns right now.
Probably the fire station.
Fire station.
I think that has immediate need. It is getting a new vehicle. There's no place for it. The ones that they have, they're stacked up practically. And I think that's top of the list, probably.
Okay. Thank you. Justin Plum, top of your list.
I would say fire as well. I mean, they created their bunk area inside the building where all the exhaust goes. So I think that's probably the number one priority in my eyes.
Okay. Thank you, Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, your number one priority.
Same, fire station. I mean, we need to look to the future and what we're growing and where we want to be and where we want to be with more housing, a bigger community, a bigger, tax base. We need a state-of-the-art fire station to be able to safely support our community.
Very good. Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., what's your number one priority building-wise?
I'm going to go with fire station as well. I think it's going to be the most important from a public safety standpoint. I think we need to be able to have the rooms for our firefighters. I also think it's going to be something that will be able to be fixed without going completely tearing it down, ways that we can add on, ways that we can improve it that will be efficient for the taxpayers.
Thank you very much. Mike Connor Jr., John Gatta, number one priority.
Yeah, same thing with the fire department. The current building was designed and built for a volunteer fire department. Well, we now have a more or less a full-time fire department where there's people up there that are on shift that are trying to sleep. I know that if I have a heart attack, I want my responders to be well rested. And what they have up there is getting by, but it's not adequate for the job that they're doing.
Thank you very much. Next question, we're going to begin this one with Justin Plum. Are there any other infrastructure needs that you would like to address beyond facilities and buildings?
I think the streets in our city, I know there's been a plan put in place a few years ago. They've had to extend that plan out multiple years due to other issues that came up. So I think probably the first thing would be the streets. It's one of those things where many, many years ago, we kind of kicked the can down the road with the roads. Oh, they'll be fine for now. Well, we're finding that now our roads are in pretty bad shape. And last winter, we really got to see some of the best roads in town, especially on South, when there was potholes every 50 feet. So I think for me, infrastructure that need would be continuing with the street plan that they have in place and trying to continue with that.
Okay, thank you, Justin Plum. It's the top of the hour, and you're listening to a KNIA KRLS Special Edition News Magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Election Candidate Forum on 95.3 KNIA. And we'll continue this question. Are there any other infrastructure needs that you'd like to address, Jill DeYoung?
I agree with Justin. The streets are need work. They're always going to need work, making sure we have the budget, the resources to fix those, continue to fix them. Sidewalks. I'm an amateur jogger and have nearly broken my leg numerous times, tripping over uneven surfaces, getting to areas that don't have sidewalks that should have them. So I just think they're for safety, for, you know, appearance, that we need to work on our sidewalks.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., are there any other infrastructure needs that you would like to address?
I think I would agree as well. You know, I got to look at the streetscape project that we have in place. I think we're making some great, good strides. We're seeing some good improvements throughout town, but there's still a lot of improvements that need to be made. As you stated, in regards to the winter weather especially, making sure that we have the resources in place to be able to handle another winter like we had last year, to be able to handle the potholes. That includes outside of the infrastructure, making sure we have the staff to be able to handle that and the facilities to be able to do that. I think that I'm on the right track. I think Aaron Adams has a great plan in place as a city manager to improve that infrastructure. I just think we need to continue down that path and really make sure that we have the resources available.
Okay, thank you, Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, are there any other infrastructure needs that you would like to address?
Streets, and kudos to what's happened. I know that we still have streets that are in poor repair, but there's been a lot of street repair or replacement that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years, and the plan is just to continue that every year. So when I say it needs to be addressed, that's just to make sure that we stay the course, that we stay on top of it, so that we don't get in that situation again where streets are in the shape that they were 5 years ago.
Okay, thank you very much, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, are there any other infrastructure needs that you would like to address?
I could say second, but I'm going to fifth everyone has said, because those are all true. There is one area that I'm a little bit concerned about. It's creeping up on us, and that's dead ash trees on public property. There are a number of dead ash trees, or will be dying over the next 2 or 3 years. If you just look around town, you see the trees now where the leaves are gone out of the top. Those are dead. They're not coming back. And those ones that are on city property, the longer they stay dead, the number of years, the more brittle and dangerous they become. So the city, I know the city has plans in mind to work this winter on those trees, but those are something that needs to be addressed and complete and cleaned up for a safety factor.
Jill DeYoung, what are your top three priorities for Knoxville in the next 3 to 5 years?
I guess first, and I think this has been brought up a little bit already, is the VA, trying to see that to completion. There has been a ton of work that our current council, our county, lots of people have done a lot of work to try to get that to where it is and closing on a finish line. And I guess I would like to see that through and get that resolved and settled. The next thing I guess I would like to see is attracting new people to Knoxville, expanding our tax base. A lot of things will come of that with a better expanded tax base. There's more money free for the streets, the sidewalks, the things we've talked about, the fire station. It'll reduce the burden of the current tax base. The third one, I guess, kind of all ties in with the attracting new people and the infrastructure, is housing. Even though that will fall on the private sector to do that, I would like to see Knoxville expand our housing. I think we've got a lot of young professionals that leave Knoxville. I think we have executives that work in Knoxville but don't live in Knoxville. There's a lot of people that want to rent. There's not a lot of great places to rent in Knoxville for people that aren't ready to buy a house yet. So I know that, like I said, that will fall more on the private sector, but if the city council could help facilitate. I think they did that a little bit with the Deer Run Edition out at Westridge. they kind of facilitated some relationships to get that jump started. So that would be something else, I guess, for my third that I would like to see happen in the next 3 to 5 years.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor, Jr., what are your top three priorities for Knoxville in the next 3 to 5 years?
I think first and foremost is to finalize and get a roadmap, a plan in place for the VA. That's going to be our greatest opportunity. It's an unprecedented opportunity for our community. And I think it's important that we knock it out of the park. If we don't, then everything moving forward is just going to screech to a halt. I think it's also going to be our greatest challenge over the next 5 to 10 years. This is going to be a long-term thing. It's not something that we can rush. We need to have a roadmap in place to be able to do that. I think second is housing. If you're not growing, you're dying. And to be able to attract new people, I think we're doing a good job from an economic development standpoint, but we need to have that housing in place. Encourage, like you said, private growth. Encourage different levels of income coming in, whether it be market-based, whether it be low in or affordable income, affordable housing. We need to be able to encourage that. Last but not least, it's, I think, particularly from what I've heard from talking to people in the community, the biggest thing that I've heard is engagement from the city government. That goes back to you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not if you're not engaging with the community, you're not going to retain the community. An engaged community, they're going to stick around. They're going to they have something in store. They have something in place for the community. They want to be involved. I think a lot of it is working on the survey that we have out. I personally have a Facebook page. I have a web page. I put my email address, my phone number out there. I want people to come talk to me. I want to be able to have you have a path to be able to reach out to me. And I think the city needs to follow suit. We look at what the chamber's doing, and I think they're engaging greatly with the community. I think from City Hall we can do that as well. Last but not least, turnover in City Hall. We're looking at 3 open seats from 3, 5 great individuals. People aren't committed. We want to make sure people are committed that are going into office, that they are going to be here for the long run. If I do get elected, I'm going to be in there for at least 2 terms. I want to be able to make sure, again, for my son, I'm seeing these changes through, and I want to be able to engage and be transparent with the community.
Okay. Thank you, Mike Connor, Jr. John Gatta, what are your 3 top priorities for Knoxville in the next 3 to 5 years?
Housing, housing, and housing. It drives, that drives everything. I think 2015, the housing study showed that we were 700 houses, I believe, short, or living units. Maybe housing is the right word. That drives everything from, our factories expanding, and that is happening now. Where do those people, there's new jobs, but where do they live? Well, we certainly don't want to lose those folks that come here for a job to live in a city somewhere else. Our economic development, any way you look at it, if you don't have enough housing, there's no growth in any of the other areas. So that has to be, the city has got to help foster, think out of the box, however you want to look at it, ways to continue. We the council last night approved a zoning change, which hopefully we're going to see a couple of 12-plex apartments and 3 townhomes, which is awesome to see that coming. And I mean, that kind of just fell out of the sky, I believe. But we have to continue to look at any and every way to increase housing.
Thank you very much. John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, what are your top 3 priorities for Knoxville in the next 3 to 5 years?
The main one is the intelligent handling of the VA hospital problem. If the city acquires ownership of that property, and we're told that it's moving in that direction, there will be zoning issues to consider immediately. The extent of that property out there is subject to multiple types of uses and probably multiple zoning. We have to pay attention to what our current zoning laws might indicate with regard to added land to it and make sure that it's appropriate. And that ties into exactly what John was saying. That includes a space for housing, and that includes a space for all kinds of housing. But affordable housing is probably the most important. That's housing for people who have a median income or lower. And those are people who do the work that needs to be done on a daily basis. And I'm told that Weiler's, for example, I'm sure they're skilled people, but less than half of their employees live in this area. They travel, they commute. A good percentage of the 3M people commute. Not only is that not helping our tax base, as indicated, but it's also adding costs to those people. So housing is a significant issue, along with a part of the VA hospital issues.
Okay, thank you, Gerald. Jordan, Justin Plum, what are your top three priorities for Knoxville in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel on this one because we're all saying very similar things. The VA, I think the VA, we need to have a master plan when that comes to be. So again, like Gerald said, with the zoning, so you have something in place. This is something that's going to take many, many years. So if we have a master plan, then we have something that we can follow along on getting what we need. And then the housing is the other one. And, you know, having appropriate housing is exactly what we need. When I moved to town 5 years ago, there were maybe 4 homes that were available to my wife and I. And so knowing that there was not very much available, I can see how other young professionals coming to the area might have a hard time finding homes. So I think housing is another area. With the council last night, they had a private developer coming in talking about the apartment complexes and the townhomes, and I think that's great if we could continue to get those individuals interested in building here. And I think after that project's done, I foresee that same individual wanting to continue to do the same thing. So I think we need to foster that kind of growth here.
Thank you very much. Justin Plum, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KNIA KRLS Special Edition News Magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Election Candidate Forum. We're at the historic Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum with a live audience, listeners at home or in their vehicles on KNIA 95.3 Knoxville. Next question, we will begin with Mike Connor Jr. What are the greatest challenges Knoxville faces?
I think the greatest challenge, as I mentioned, when it comes to priorities, it goes to the VA. Again, this is something that we've been working on for quite a long time, that from what I understand, it's been an eyesore. If something needs to be done. We need to be sensitive, though, how we do it. We need to be smart how we do it. Again, like I mentioned before, it's an unprecedented opportunity. It's our job to make sure we do it right. I say we need to have a good, solid roadmap, what we're going to do, a good 5-10-year plan, at least, to be able to ensure that we're going to be able to get the housing options that we want, the economic development, the green space, school facilities, whatever we may need out there. Let's have a plan for it. We don't want to just rush it and go in there and start developing. I think that would be a mistake. If you look at the state of the buildings that are in on the campus, they're beyond repair at this point. So we're looking at something that we have to be very sensitive to people who have worked there, who had family that was patients there. There's a lot of history in that, so we need to make sure that we are being sensitive to that history, paying tribute to those individuals as well. The significance isn't lost on me. As I mentioned, my great uncle, he fought in World War II, stormed Omaha Beach. He spent his last years there, the last 3 years of his life. I remember going there to visit him. And it's vital. It's extremely vital that we pay tribute to those individuals in any way we can if we're going to develop that. We may not have those same buildings that they were in standing, but we need to make sure that we are doing what we can to pay tribute to those people. And the best way we can do that is doing it right the first time, knocking it out of the park.
Thank you, Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, what are the greatest challenges Knoxville faces?
Well, I think, again, it's the housing shortage and just the general lack of funding, as some funding sources from the state, from the federal government, wherever, start, you know, they continually are shrinking. And that makes it just that much more difficult for the city to do what we need to do. The VA thing, yes, looks like it's very close right now to being handed over. That's an awesome relationship between the city and the county, everybody working together to try to make that happen. The plans that 571 Polson Group, I believe it is, has laid out for that are awesome, but we don't have that yet. We don't have the land, nor do we have buildings taken down that would have to be taken down in order to let the development happen.
Thank you, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, what are the greatest challenges Knoxville faces?
Well, this is going to sound like a broken record up here, but of course the VA is the biggest obstacle. And along with that, as John mentioned, housing. And I still believe that those go hand in hand. I think that the intelligent development of that land, when and if it becomes available for developers, for housing, will take a big step towards making land available. We all know there hasn't been a significant development later, except out north of West Ridge, where Don Long and Will Prather made some additions. Those houses are not really in the category of affordable housing. They're nice houses. They're very nice, and they add to the base. But I thank them for what they've done. And there may be some more sometime. We never know. But those aren't the ones that we need to help the community grow. It's affordable housing that we need.
Thank you, Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, what are your top three priorities for Knoxville in the next... I'm sorry, what are the greatest challenges Knoxville faces?
Well, I think with, like everyone has said already, with the housing, I mean, when you have housing and you have individuals come in, then your tax base grows, and when your tax base grows, then you can continue to add the services that you need. You can fix things that are broken, you can add new services, you can create more housing, and it's that forward movement that needs to happen. I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges, is who's going to take that first step, who's going to take kind of the risk of doing those kind of projects. But I think we need to have those people step forward to be able to do that, and that's a big challenge. So I think having the city involved is part of it, but also the private world has to get in there and jump in as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Jill DeYoung, what are the greatest challenges Knoxville faces?
I think one of our greatest challenges is attracting new people to town. Knoxville's more than just sprint cars. Sprint cars are great, and they're a great source of revenue and a great source of entertainment. But we need to get new people to town. We need to increase our community pride, increasing our industry, our amenities. Our schools are doing lots of great things. And I think it's also important that we need to look ahead. It is scary to talk about a bond issue for a fire station and a police station with what's going on at the school, but I think we need to do it. I think that some of the problems we have now were because we, years and years ago, didn't want to spend money or didn't know what the future was going to handle or look like. But I think we need to look to growth. We need to look to where we want to be and what we are going to need to do now to get that in place, so we will have those things in the future that will attract people to our community.
Thank you very much, Jill DeYoung. And if you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to a KNIA KRLS Special Edition News Magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Election Candidate Forum. And our next question, been asking these in different ways, challenges Now, this next one is, what are the greatest obstacles? And we're asking these. They're sort of, some of them are very similar, but they can be from different perspectives. But so what are some of the greatest obstacles in the way of Knoxville prospering? And we're going to start with John Gatta.
So one of, at least from my perspective, I've lived here when Knoxville was at its pinnacle, when it was still growing, everything was vibrant, and then many, many things happened where we went a little south. And we're certainly rebounding, and things are looking better, but it would be great if there was a way to fix some of the negativity that goes on in town, and get everybody pushing the train the same direction. And I think a lot of that is has got to be through communication from the city out to the citizens. More citizen involvement in anything and everything, again, so that we are we're a team that again is looking to see Knoxville prosper, and that's kind of that's a hurdle. But I think that when we get everybody on board, that helps support everything and move everything.
Thank you very much, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, what are the greatest obstacles in the way of Knoxville prospering?
Potholes. Now, those are being taken care of. But somebody mentioned a while ago the potholes. They were bad. But I give credit, real credit, to the city for the street improvements they've done. They worked a miracle out on Westridge, where I live, but I know they're still working. I'm not so sure, but what we need to stress, community cooperation. Historically, I don't know, are people in Pella listening to this?
All of them, every last one.
Well, I think our two communities, we're a unique county. We have two communities in this county that are significant size. Not many other rural counties in Iowa have that. And I think cooperation between Knoxville and Pella will go a long ways towards improving our community, our own community. And we have the great facility between us, the lake, which is a wonderful recreation facility. So to the extent we can cooperate and address the recreation needs or uses of those facilities and our own recreation facilities for the betterment of the health of individuals, I'd like to see some of these people come out to lap swim, just like I do, every morning. That will improve your health, I'll guarantee you. And so I got lost. Where am I?
Obstacles.
I'm an obstacle. I'll just quit.
Justin Plum, what are some of the greatest obstacles in the way of Knoxville prospering?
I think as John noted, I think as a city, we need to be okay with some change. I mean, there's always the history of where you grow up. I grew up in Britt, okay? We're home of the hobos. That's stuck with me my life. So everybody says, you know where you're from, right?
Come on. Man.
Yeah. So it's okay to have the history of where you're from, but it's also, there's nothing wrong with looking to the future. And I think some change is okay. I mean, that's how you continue to grow. If you stay the same, you're not growing. Pretty soon your city is smaller and smaller and smaller. So I think that's probably the biggest obstacle, is people being okay with some change. Doesn't have to be big, but some change can go a long ways.
Thank you, Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, what are the greatest obstacles in the way of Knoxville prospering?
I'm going to echo, I guess, what these fine gentlemen are saying. People are a precious resource. We need to be aggressive. We need to be intentional with the changes we're making, with the communication we're having, with the community pride we're instilling. I mean, Knoxville really is a great city. We have great citizens. We can do better, but it's good. It's really good here. So I'd like to really help to instill that community pride and the partnerships and working together and embrace change when we can and where we need it.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor, Jr., what are some of the greatest obstacles in the way of Knoxville prospering?
Very much similar to what everybody else is saying. I think it comes back to growth. It comes back to attracting people. It's a very attractive community. There's no reason why we shouldn't be growing, why we can't grow tenfold over the next 10 years. The way I look at it, growth equals prosperity. In order to do that, housing is going to be key. We need to have that housing of all market types. I got my hair cut a couple weeks ago, and a gal that worked at the barbershop that got my hair cut, she drives about a little over an hour to come in here to cut hair. She has family in Knoxville. She's from Knoxville. She went to look to see if she can move to Knoxville. Just didn't have the housing. It was cheaper for her to stay where she's at and commute over an hour to get to work to cut hair. You talk to numerous people who come back later in life. How can we retain these people so that way they don't leave? Obviously, I look at Knoxville as a hub for young families. You look at where we're situated. We have Simpson College. We have Central. We have DMAC. We have William Penn. We should be a hub for young families and young professionals and college students. We need to be able to give them the opportunity to be able to come here, to be able to grow with us. Maybe it's looking at the zoning, looking at other options, looking at maybe the minimum lot requirement, lot size requirement when it comes to zoning. We got to think outside the box. Think of ways that we can grow and be able to improve that housing. And as everybody else was saying, listen to the community. Be sensitive to what you have. We need to be able to change. We need to be able to bend a little bit. We don't need to break, but we need to be able to bend it. Honestly, us being transparent at the city level, it's going to be vital to be able to help you understand. If you have a problem, I want you to be able to come to me. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. Let's talk. Let's be able to work it out. That's so politics nowadays, there's no civility. And I want to be able to change that. I want to make sure we have that civility in Knoxville.
Thank you very much, Mike Connor, Jr. Our next question is, what is your vision for economic development? And we will start with Gerald Jordan.
Of course, there's a Knoxville Area Development Commission. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm not conversant with their activities, but I know that they acquire or make attempts to acquire land around the city. I know that's how Weiler's got their foothold, and they have a wonderful addition to our city, and it's established a name for themselves and a name for us with their reputation and their products. So what we can do to stimulate the benefits that the Development Commission sees, well, certainly as a council, if I happen to be on it, try to do that. But I'm not by any means conversant with the actual retail, commercial needs of the city. Other people have that expertise other than myself.
Thank you, Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, what is your vision for economic development?
I personally don't really have an agenda. Like Gerald said, you know, there's other individuals who that's kind of their role. But as a potential council member, I would like to be able to help foster those things that those individuals would like, taking in the information that they give us and making an informed decision on how we can help with their plans that they have for economic growth. I think as a council member, we don't maybe have as much of that knowledge, especially as a potential junior council member. I don't have as much knowledge on that, but through the work that I do in my schooling, I'm very much one that I will go out and I'll research and research and research until I have all the information that I need to know to make an informed decision.
Thank you, Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, what is your vision for economic development?
Similar to what the gentlemen are saying, I think it's going to take some partnerships. You know, it's not just the city council, but working with the Chamber of Commerce, working with the Development Commission, working with these private builders on the housing, you know, working with other people I'd like to see our square vibrant again. You know, you go to other towns and you can't find a parking spot on their square. And unfortunately, you know, our square is not the same way. It's just the heart of the area. So I would like to see what we could do, who we could enter into relationships with to foster that. And then also our Weilers, our 3Ms, the hospital, you know, places like that that bring a lot of jobs to the area and a lot of development to the area to bring in more tax dollars to help us all out.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., what is your vision for economic development?
Well, I think you can take a look at the environment where we're at with a possible VA purchase, with a square that's ripe for development. I think, again, partnerships are going to be key to this. Working with the Chamber of Commerce, working with development, working with outside developers to come into town, bring them in, make them want to come to Knoxville, encourage that. One thing that I know was discussed, I believe, is back at the July 15th City Council meeting, is a revolving loan program that's administered by the Chamber of Commerce. The funds are held by the city. They're donated. I believe there's around $116,000 in those funds right now, and they would be utilized to be able to help current businesses or new businesses grow within our community. And that's the kind of stuff that we need to be able to encourage and be able to utilize our resources. That won't be a big hit on taxpayers, but it will be able to help everybody, help business owners that we have now, bring in those new businesses that's going to impact and create jobs, create an environment that's going to flourish, I think, with the people that want these new jobs coming in.
Thank you, Mike Connor Jr. Don Gatta, what is your vision for economic development?
Kind of stuck on the same thing, but housing plays that's the key to our economic development. You know, we've stated it before, but we get more housing in, we get more people in. That's more dollars in Knoxville to spend. That hopefully brings in more businesses because, again, they know there's more people here to buy their products and services. Housing. That's the we've got to focus on that. And when I say that, the city and I think they have over the years have made great strides in becoming a whole lot more friendly place. When you go up and you want to do something, whether you want to add on to your business or your house for that matter, whatever it is, I think the city has a how can we help you mode. Versus, you know, well, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. I think they're reaching out and trying to help people better their business, better their property, and that's good for all of us.
Thank you, John Gatta. This next question is, what quality of life amenities does Knoxville lack? Jill DeYoung, what quality of life amenities does Knoxville lack?
I guess I just look at this if, you know, somebody potentially is looking at Knoxville. I'm offered a job in Knoxville. I'm offered a job in Grinnell. You know, what am I going to look for? Trail system. You know, I think it would be nice if we had a better trail system for outdoor activities. People always want an outdoor pool. The numbers don't support that, but maybe splash pads. One thing in Knoxville, we don't have a sports complex. A lot of other towns have big sports complexes. People with small children, that's a thing. Soccer complexes, baseball complexes, softball. And we've got the fields out at the county park. But as, you know, your town grows and more kids are playing sports, I think looking to the future, you know, those are amenities that people will look at when they're looking to come to Knoxville. So, and I think those could use some work. A recreation center, and like I said, they do a great job. We've talked about Jerry does a great job maintaining it, but it's busting at the seams. And if you want to have a healthy community and an active community, I think your rec center is integral in that, and making some changes and updates to that would also be a great amenity for our community.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., what quality of life amenities does Knoxville lack?
I'm going to agree with the parks and improving some parks. One of the biggest things I've heard from people is splash pad. And that's something I know that we're working on at Youngs Park, and that'd be fantastic once we can get that in. But on top of that, the trail system, as you mentioned, I think that's vital. One thing that I would really like to see is green space. It's something that's affordable to maintain. It's an open area that is going to naturally attract people. I'm big on mental health. It's another thing I've heard a lot of from Knoxville citizens is how can we improve mental health? Having that green space is going to help improve that mental health. Give people an opportunity to go out there and improve both the physical and the mental health of our community. Those are the type of amenities I think is going to really help bring people in, give them more entertainment options, family-friendly entertainment options. I think we're at our best when we come together for events such as Nationals, when we come together for events like Christmas on the Square. I think more events like that would really help to build the bonds with the families, with the city.
Thank you, Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, what quality of life amenities does Knoxville lack?
You know, I think our recreation department, my hat's off to them, because I think they've taken a department there and turned it around, and they're doing everything that they can do and offer everything that they can offer with the current facilities that they have. But yes, someday, a sports complex, that seems to be the thing, and towns are a lot smaller than Knoxville are supporting those. Certainly, and another thing is shopping, which kind of comes back to the whole economic development thing. I know that we're certainly in a different era now. I can remember when that square was full of stores. That was before Amazon and many other changes in the world. But to have stores that are not your typical Amazon offering, where you can still go uptown, and there are stores up there, don't get me wrong, but more stores where you can go uptown and purchase something.
Thank you, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, what quality of life amenities does Knoxville lack?
I'm not sure I can name anything that Knoxville actually lacks. I do want to give a shout out to the city and their forward work that they've already done. We have a wonderful new tennis court out west of the Recreation Center. It's a court where towns from other areas come in here to have their tournaments and have their practices. It's a great facility. The city is developing Young Park, and they've built the new skate pit. That's down the road.
Park.
Skate park, yeah. New skate park. I don't use it, obviously, but in any event, the new skate park, and they have plans for a flash pad. I give great credit to them. They're working on those things. I can't name a specific thing that we lack. There are areas that can be expanded, maybe. People have touched on it here, the sports areas, and those exist. You folks should realize we have a brand new fantastic library, and that library will offer programs for people. There's an ancestry section in there. You can go check a lot of history about the county and the area, and so there's a lot of things in there that we could take advantage of. And those will be known, those will be publicized. So I think we have some great facilities here, frankly.
Okay, thank you, Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, what quality of life amenities does Knoxville lack?
Jill had mentioned the trails. I think they have a good plan in place for the trails, and I'd like to continue to see that grow. I'm not a bicyclist, but I also enjoy to walk, and so not having to walk on the streets at night would be great. So I think a trail system would be great if we could continue to foster that. And there's many communities in Iowa that if they're on a bike trail, they have lots of things to do on those bike trails in those towns. So I think if we could have something like that, we could also entice more people to come and visit our city and spend their money here. So.
Okay, thank you, Justin Plum. Our next question is, how do you see the relationships with the school, the hospital, and the county? And we'll start with Mike Connor Jr. How do you see the relationships with the school, the hospital, and the county?
I think that we are definitely on an upward trajectory when it comes to where we're at with relationship with the county, obviously with the hospital and the school as well. I think we need to continue that, to foster those relationships. The fact that we're working together with the county to purchase the VA, that says a lot. And from what I understand, 5-10 years ago, county wouldn't have had anything to do with it. So the fact that we're getting our ducks in a row here in town, we're making those moves to improve our community, I think that says a lot about our relationships. I think that it's vital for our citizens to be involved with all aspects that you're mentioning. And having that clear channel communication at the city level of government is going to be key to that. One concern, as I mentioned earlier, was about mental health. I reached out and actually had meetings with Marion County Public Health. I had meetings with local health care providers here in town, local counselors in town. And from what I understand, one of our biggest opportunities is bringing attention to mental health, whether that be anxiety, depression, addiction, no matter what it is. And that's something that I think all of us, from the hospital, from the county to the schools, we can all come together and work together to be able to come up with a plan to improve that mental health. Part of that's green space, part of that's what the city's going to be doing, but it all has to do with the hospital and the schools and the county as well, and it's important that we're communicating on it.
Okay. Thank you, Mike Connor Jr. John Gott, how do you see the relationships with the school, the hospital, and the county?
Well, I think this could be one of our greatest assets right now, is those entities working together to make things better. As I think Jerry mentioned, the tennis courts, with the school and the city working together on that, the VA and the county, again, yeah, these are things that who would have thought that this could happen, and it's all happening. The hospital, I know, does everything that they can do to support the schools, and I think that's reciprocated. The city was very good to us at the hospital on our last project, as far with permitting and just all the hoops that you have to jump through. They were helpful, and that went very well. So I think we have to continue to foster those relationships in order to move forward on the trajectory that we're on. Again, this is something that Knoxville hasn't seen for a long time, and again, that's the big entity, so to speak, all pushing the train in the same direction.
Thank you, John Gotta. Gerald Jordan, how do you see the relationships with the school, the hospital, and the county?
Well, they're all connected in a lot of ways. For example, I think that the hospital probably maybe has some thoughts towards some necessary addition, probably, or changes with regard to some of the facilities. I don't want to speak out of turn, but that certainly will require the city cooperation with what roads or streets might be involved. I'll say the school district, and I'll give a shout out to our school district. I think it's a great institution. We put our three children went all through the Knoxville school system. Marilyn's a dental hygienist. She's worked for dentists here in town until she retired, as I did. But nevertheless, the school has some plans, as I think, to possibly institute some building changes that may certainly require the city to consider the zoning necessities that might be necessary for changes in those particular properties. We should pay attention to those and be open to cooperating with those institutions. It's already been mentioned the county is helping with the bonding limit to be able to help with the removal of the VA building should that come about. So it's all necessary. It's necessary that we cooperate with all of these entities, and there isn't a reason why not to.
Okay, thank you, Gerald Jordan. Justin Plum, how do you see the relationships with the school, the hospital, and the county?
So I think we have great leadership in all of those areas who work well together, and they can see the future benefits of what they're trying to do. I mean, the hospital went through a renovation when I first moved to town. They're in the process of probably doing a little bit more. We've got the school. They're looking at potentially having a new building. So they're looking to the future. They're trying to build the community by expanding the services available. And I think if they can continue to have those communications, that's a good growth opportunity. So I think we have good leadership with the city, with the schools, with the hospital, with the county, and I think we just need to continue to have those open lines of communication on where do we want to see the city grow to.
Okay, thank you, Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, how do you see the relationships with the school, the hospital, and the county?
When I did my notes to try to prepare for this, I wrote one word. I wrote awesome. I just think that they're all working together nicely, and I think going forward you need to. With price tags that are going to be attached to things we all want to do, it's got to be a combined effort for a lot of these things. I mean, we've talked about the new school building, tennis courts, those solar panels that are up at some of the school facilities. I mean, that's a combined effort, and the VA and all of that. I think to get stuff done, we're going to have to work together going forward, and I think that that's just going to be in everybody's best interest. It's definitely going that direction, and I don't see any reason why it shouldn't continue.
Okay, thank you, Jill DeYoung. Our last question is actually a statement. Why should the citizens of the city of Knoxville vote for you? And we're going to begin with Justin Plum. Why should the citizens of the city of Knoxville vote for you?
Well, Jill wrote on her note sheet, vote for Justin, so that's one reason why.
Ooh, it's here.
Endorsement.
Yeah.
Go.
Here.
As a young professional moving to town, my wife and I, we are here to stay, and we want to continue to see this city grow in the way that we know it can. So I hope you guys get out there on November 5th and vote for me.
Thank you, Justin Plum. Jill DeYoung, in your final statement, why should the citizens of the city of Knoxville vote for you?
Now, this really should be the easiest question, but it's actually the hardest because of the gentleman here with me. There are a lot of great candidates. Every candidate here is a great candidate for this office. I just know I'm a hard worker, I'm honest, I'm a quick learner, and I'm a good listener. And I'm here to stay. I have 6 children that are in the community, in the schools, using the services of the city, and I own property in the city. I have a vested interest on our city continuing the trajectory it's on. So I am asking for you to not only vote for Justin, apparently, but to vote for me as well at the election.
Thank you, Jill DeYoung. Mike Connor Jr., why should the citizens of the city of Knoxville vote for you?
Many of you don't know who I am. I'm new to the school. I'm new to the community. And until I started campaigning, a lot of people didn't know, and I think that a lot of people found that as a positive. I do come at this from an outsider's perspective. It doesn't mean I want to change everything. I think that would be a mistake. But I think it's a good opportunity for somebody from the outside to take a look and see what opportunities we have. I'm a hard worker. I'm dedicated. I'm passionate. I'm a family man. Again, my main motivation is sitting back there. You know, my 8-year-old boy. My future stepson who's not here. He's a motivation as well. I'm motivated. I'm passionate. I'm positive. And I think our best days are ahead of us. So I really hope you'll come out November 5th, vote for Mike Connor. And I think she wrote that down as well. So we got that going. And if you want to follow on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/Connor for Knoxville, Iowa. Come talk to me. My phone number's on there. My email's on there. Talk to me. Let's communicate.
Thank you, Mike Connor Jr. John Gatta, why should the citizens of the city of Knoxville vote for you?
Well, I'm passionate about Knoxville. I certainly want to see Knoxville be the best small community and hopefully larger that it can be. I will certainly listen to what citizens have to say, and I will try as best I can to work well with other council members, with city staff, and just all the other entities of Knoxville to continue the path that we are currently on. So, yes, vote for me if you would. And if you don't vote for me, vote.
There you go.
Thank you, John Gatta. Gerald Jordan, why should the citizens of the city of Knoxville vote for you?
I should have been sitting closer to Jill. That might help. It's pretty obvious up here that I'm a little longer in the tooth than some of the other candidates, and I don't think that kind of diversity is anything bad. I think that I have the training and the experience dealing with people on many different levels. I think I have developed a sense of right and wrong, the things that need to be done. I did forgot to mention at one time, I served on the school board, so I'm very familiar with that. I served 9 years on the school board some time ago. But those are all things that I think add to the depth of my background. I have a friend who is here tonight, and I won't point him out too much, but when he knew I was running for city council, he said, you know, you should adopt a platform of term limits. Well, I don't know what he meant by that. I'm not going to say anything beyond this election. I would hope that people could support me for this role. I'm interested in it. I want to contribute to it. And by the way, if there's any snowbirds here, you can vote absentee.
Thank you, Gerald Jordan. And with that, we conclude a KNIA KROS Special Edition News Magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Election Candidate Forum. Thanks to Bob Baker and the staff at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum for hosting us. Thanks to Spencer Dirks and Nathan Sage for engineering the broadcast. We all appreciate the five candidates for their willingness to serve our community in this way. Thanks to our live audience, our listeners at home. Remember to vote on November 5th. I'm Bob Leonard, and the one to count on for award-winning political coverage is KNIA KRLS.
Thanks for tuning in to this special edition news magazine, the 2019 Knoxville City Council Candidate Forum on FM 95.3 KNIA in Knoxville. Voting for both school board and city council takes place on Tuesday, November 5th. Stay tuned for continuing coverage of our local races on the one to count on for today's news and local information, FM 95.3 KNIA, Knoxville.